How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Meal Podcast, international break special with myself, Omer, and Kai Bennett. Hello, mate. You good?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Enjoying a week off Millwall. Well, obviously, after the defeat at Stoke, I wasn't not going to enjoy the international break, but I think the loss came at the right time, didn't it, Kai, after that 8-game unbeaten run? And obviously, a disappointing result on the day. Just didn't go our way, obviously. Jed missing the penalty too, mate. And it kind of summed up our day, didn't it, I think, as a whole?
Yeah, he never misses penalties. So when he missed, you just knew it wasn't going to happen. And then obviously, Keith had the rebound. Then he managed to set Stoke on a counter-attack, didn't he?
Very strange that as well, wasn't it? I think in a weird way, I'm quite happy the loss came when it did. Because like, if we went into this international break, 9 games unbeaten, I know it's like it sounds cliched, but at least we got the loss out of the way. And obviously, the positives of the 3 substitutions we made in the second half in the game as well, with players coming back from injury. You mentioned Keith, obviously Ojo and Bradshaw as well, mate. It's nice to kind of go into the international break, recharge the players that have been involved in the last 8 games that was unbeaten and kind of go again, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think Bradshaw looked bright when he came on by the looks of it. He had a good chance. Obviously, got the one on the penalty, looked bright. Ojo, I've been really impressed with Ojo. I was really impressed that he decided to stay with Millwall to do his recovery. He was at the games, signing autographs, getting photos with fans. I was really impressed with that because obviously as a loan player, it's quite easy to go back to your parent club, especially a club like Liverpool. Do it there, but he decided to stay at Millwall, which I was, yeah, that impressed me a lot, and it gave me the feeling that, you know, if we were to try and go after him in the summer, he probably is the right sort of player that we want at this football club right now.
Definitely. I mean, we'll talk more obviously at probably towards the end of the show about Stoke, but today's episode, guys, we want to try and drum down into what really changed in the 8-game unbeaten run and kind of ask the question of what was the catalyst for it. And obviously look at a bit of the stats side of it, player involvements and who he thinks are standout players as such. So I guess we'll go straight into it, Kai. No parts today. We'll just go straight into the show, mate. Obviously, 8 games unbeaten, 10 goals scored, 2 against, 6 clean sheets, 5 of which were on the bounce before Stoke, mate. I mean, what do you think, what was the change? Or what, I mean, it's easy to kind of just give a general answer to this, but I guess what we're trying to cover today is what really was the catalyst for it. I mean, obviously, we lost at Fulham. I weren't going to say we got to play off the park. On another day, we could have made it an interesting affair towards the end of the game, could have maybe got back into it. But after that game, the manager says there's 17 games to go. You know, this is kind of the laying down the gauntlet, saying 17 games to go, 17 cup finals. And the team responded, didn't they, in the next 8 games?
Absolutely. They've just, I feel like they've taken that handbrake off, I guess, and they've just gone for it. They've enjoyed their football. They've had no pressure on them. And I think that's where maybe, you know, I think with the 8 games, not talking about the playoffs, not talking about anything, any success, anything like that, has really helped the players just enjoy their football. I think a big thing with Millwall is when we know we're safe, is in terms of like, there's no chance of us going down, the players can then express themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when the best side of us comes out, because while they're, you know, still not safe, or they're, you know, they're on the border and they need to get a few more points to guarantee it, they almost seem a little bit nervous, quite defensive, and, you know, not sure whether they want to go forward or not, and just, you know, keep getting points along the way. But since we're now safe, I think we're 30 points clear of the relegation zone, which is quite an achievement, isn't it, in 8 games to go? I think it's
29. I'll correct you, 29, but still, yeah, we're safe. We're not going down.
Quite an achievement, though, isn't it? With I know the teams down the bottom there have been really poor, and they are probably on the lowest points tally at this stage of the season for quite a while. I mean, we always say 40 points keeps you up. But this year, I think probably 36, 37 probably keeps you up with the teams down there. Mm-hmm. But no, it's been superb. I think they've just given the fans and the club that little bit more of a new, so they've had like a new lease of life over the last 8 games. They've seemed to connect with the fans. The fans loved, me included, I'm sure you speak for you as well, just love watching them play, always excited for the next game. I think we haven't had that for a while. And it's nice to bring that back. Obviously, the defeat against Stoke, ends the unbeaten run, but I'm still buzzing for after the international break. We've got players back.
Disappointed,
but you know, it's still excitement going into the last 8 games of the season, isn't it?
And so also having something to play for. And I think obviously, like we said, since that Fulham game, if you said to me we would have took 20 points from the available 24, I'd be thinking, Kai, I know you're a bit delusional at times, mate, but you're talking absolute rubbish there. And in fact, we didn't even think it. I mean, we're positive at the best of times, but to even comprehend that after that defeat at Fulham, with games coming up against Cardiff, who were doing quite well at the time, QPR at home, Derby away, obviously, who were kind of batting at the bottom, Sheffield United, Reading, And then obviously a trip to Blackburn, obviously the contentious one, that one, for the whole postponement scandal. And then Middlesbrough and Huddersfield also, who are kind of teams that are flying in the right direction. But I guess it kind of typifies the Millwall way, like you said there, Kai, of, you know, we've always said it on our shows as well, like backs against the wall, injuries throughout the squad, 8 or 9 first team players missing, but Millwall rise to them occasions. And I guess that's exactly what we did.
Absolutely. I think we had a tough run, Reading and Derby. You know, are down there, but they're not the worst sides. You know, Derby have got some really good players. And without that points deduction, they'd be up there. They'd probably be 15th, 14th, something like that. Reading the same. You know, I know that without points deduction, they'd be, you know, a bit higher up as well. They've got some good players in that squad. And I think that's the thing for me. Like, we did really well against all these good sides. And then, you know, in typical Millwall fashion, we probably mess it up against probably the worst side, which is quite funny because obviously Stoke are, well, before that, they were useless, weren't they? They played well against us, to be fair. But yeah, I think that was probably more down to they were trying to save the manager's skin a little bit because he was under a lot of pressure. Had we caught them a game before, maybe we would have beaten them. But no, but there's just been a change. It's just been a massive change. It feels like a change in everything we've been doing. A change in, I guess, not really formation, but the style has been different. The formation stayed the same, but the style has really, really differed because the wing-backs seem to be getting higher. The centre-backs, Cooper, Hutchinson, Ballard, Murray Wallace, whoever is in them two, but, you know, not the one, but whoever's in the two, they're getting forward again, like we used to have them getting forward. They sort of stopped that for a bit. They're almost a bit protective of that back five, and they sort of, you know, really quite, you know, they're quite very defensive, but they're starting to get forward again. We're seeing Hutchinson. I mean, that ball, what game was it? QPR, for example. Hutchinson wins the ball. He plays in Jed little round the corner to Bury, and Bury finishes. That's a prime example of what we were seeing at the start of Rowett's tenure. And now I feel like we're starting to see it again, which is exciting. He's sort of rediscovered that, I guess, that style that we were playing at the start.
And also, I think it's the style has definitely improved, but also it's the context of the games that we went into at the time, mate. I think we went to Derby, who hadn't lost in 6 at home. Obviously, we welcomed Huddersfield to town last Tuesday or Wednesday, and, you know, there were 17 unbeaten. And, you know, there's a lot of, obviously, Derby's case, I think the day before Reading won, and there's a lot of pressure on them to turn up and win these games. And, you know, the same with Huddersfield, to keep going and keep the momentum going. Since they lost to us, they lost at the weekend as well. They got well beaten. I can't remember who it was against. But, you know, I think we've kind of risen to the occasion. And I think you're right to say about the wing-backs. I think Malone missed the game against Fulham. Since he's come back in, he's played every game. And obviously, there's a few other players that I thought at first, obviously, getting to the international break, I thought, oh, you know, probably all the players need a rest. But only 7 players played every minute of every game. Or there's a couple who maybe came off as subs, but they all started the games. That's Bart, McNamara, Cooper, Murray Wallace, Malone, Mitchell and Jed Wallace. And the rest is kind of mix and match of about 7 or 8 players there, Kai. I think the key there is obviously the return from him is obviously Jed Wallace was crucial as well. Obviously from injury, came on against Fulham. I think he came on the week before that in a game against the team escapes me as a half-time sub. But the crux of it is like players returning from injury, but also it allowed us to change that shape a little bit, didn't it? And kind of shoehorn players into positions, but it works. Bury against QPR, Bury against Derby, you know, it kind of just pieced together well, didn't it?
Yeah, I think they just sort of, they battled together, which was something that, you know, was quite impressive. They, you know, sometimes they're under the cosh against like Sheffield United, Derby, for example, at the end, but they just kept going. And we have sort of put players in positions because we've had players injured. But every time we've put a player in there, they've always taken their chance, rather than maybe before they would have sort of, players would have gone into that position, not really played very well. And you'd be thinking, well, we really need that player back now because that player hasn't given me anything in that game. But obviously, Bury's dropped a little bit in the last couple of games, but I think that's probably expected at some point as a youngster. Mm-hmm. We come in, you know, you've seen players do that before. They've come in, they've been brilliant. They have a little bit of an off period, then they go again. And I think this international break is exactly what Tyler needs to reset, maybe. Think about what he's done in the last couple of games and the games before that, done really well. Then obviously had a little bit of off period, but then go again for the other games coming forward and make sure his pay. I think he's going to be really key going into the last 8 games because his pace, as well as Oliver Burke, if you say you don't start with them two and you can bring them two on with them pace alongside maybe Bennick or alongside Jed or, you know, whichever way you go about it, them two are going to frighten defences big time.
Definitely. And I think also what's key, like you're saying, obviously about team effort, and obviously it's good to see Bury get a chance. Obviously, Lovelace made 4 sub appearances in that 8-game spell as well, Kai. And some of it, obviously, you know, it's not a token gesture at this point. He's obviously, he's what we got. It's what's available. And even, you know, at times you've got to call on these players to come in and do a job. But I thought in a couple of games, I think he got a 20-minute spell, didn't he, in one of the home games, maybe Sheffield United. He showed that he's capable if he's given the opportunities. And obviously the same with Bury, scoring 2 goals in the 8-game spell. And this is like, if you offer the players a chance to impress, they're going to take it. The same with McNamara now, obviously, he's a forever present in our side suddenly, isn't he? And it's nice to see homegrown players come in. And obviously Mitchell, 8 games, he's played all of them as well. It's great to see, as Millwall fans, to see these players come through.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the most impressive things about this season. We've seen so many players come through the academy. It almost reminds me of the time, you know, when we went down to League One and Neil Harris sort of embedded a lot of youngsters into the side and we sort of built the team around the youngsters. I feel like that's the way we're probably going about it now. We've got Tyler, we've got Danny, we've got Billy, we've got Zach Lovelace. We've got, we've even seen Muller on the bench. We've seen Topolodge on the bench. We've seen players like that who are exciting players.
Nana Boateng as well against
Boateng. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he is one of the most exciting for me, Boateng. I haven't actually seen him yet. But I think his pace and his, I guess his direct runs, what I've seen from the 23s, will be really exciting when he comes in, because I think he, you know, he's a bit different to Bury. Maybe Bury's got a touch more pace than him. Boateng, don't get me wrong, is still rapid. But I think with Boateng, maybe he's a little bit stronger on the ball. So he's more like your Bennett sort of player rather than your maybe Bury. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think they're here for the future, but also they're here for the here and now, which is great. And that's what's superb to see. And I guess this is the class of 21-22 starting to blossom, maybe. You know, like I say, and all the young players coming through. And we love that as Millwall fans. And I think you're right to say about Harris when we went to League One. I remember, like, he obviously... On your Dimmer, obviously, Ben Thompson, Sid Nelson, Aidan O'Brien. But then also we had the likes of, that didn't really make it, like Junior Tiencia rings a bell, and a few others that didn't really get into the fold. But obviously, young players that are, you know, coming through properly and obviously trying to get their opportunity. And that's all we ask for as Mill fans. And obviously, we've seen a shift with recruitment, Aldo coming back. So we'll talk about it more in depth in another time. But it's obviously exciting times for Mill. And I think we all think that. Obviously, the goals, mate, we said 10 scored. A team effort as well, mate, here, because you've got 6 different goal scorers in them games. Afobe got 2, Cooper got 2, Bury got 2, Bennett got 2. And then you've got both Wallaces, Jed and Murray Wallace, with 1 each. And obviously, a fair share of selection there, 6 different players contributing. I think that's also what's been key. Maybe throughout the whole season, we've not really had a standout goal scorer, have we? And I don't know who is our top goal scorer at the moment. Is it Bradshaw still?
Bradshaw still, I think. Actually, no, it's Bennick now. It's Bennick now. Just overtaken. I think he's got 8, hasn't he?
I'm going to tell you the answer if I can find it.
We're a bit like Manchester City. We're well-rounded.
But back to the point there, mate, like, it's a team effort, isn't it, all round? And that's refreshing to see. And also, obviously, Cooper getting 2 and 2 as well. Well, technically 3 and 3 if you count his own goal at Derby as well. Set pieces have stepped up since Jed's come back into the side, I felt like. And he's got a few assists in them games. I haven't got the assist numbers, but I'm pretty sure Jed will be top of that chart. Also, it's just, like I said, a team effort, isn't it?
Definitely. I think everyone's played their part. And that's been the best thing about this little run, is that there's been no standout players. Obviously, there has been standout players, but there has been no one's, you know, run away with the standout performances. You know, before we were always saying, "Oh, Jed Wallace is our standout player." I think Jed's been superb recently as well. But there's been players that have made things happen other than him. You know, even the defence have been standout. Midfield, Billy Mitchell and George Saville. I mean, we haven't mentioned Saville yet, but I think Saville, the last couple of games, okay, let's maybe not count Stoke, but the couple of games before that, we were starting to see Saville at his best again.
Definitely.
Which was fantastic. After, you know, I think what did him early season, we're going to mention it over, I'm really sorry to tell you, but COVID. And then and then in the Palace game, he obviously got whiplash, which was nasty. So I think that sort of ruined his start to the season. Then obviously he got over it, and then he got another injury. And now he seems to be back and getting back to his best.
Did you say he got whiplash? Sorry.
Whiplash, yeah, against Palace. That was why he was out for so long.
Is that what it was? Whiplash?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he went off like holding his leg when he went off in that game.
Yeah, I thought it was as well, but it was actually his neck.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
The funny thing is, he actually fouled Anderson. That was the best bit. That was quite the funny bit about it. when we were speaking the other day, we were trying to find out what it was, because we were trying to do a piece for the paper, and we were trying to find out how he got the injury. So I watched the game back, and I got to about 44 minutes, whereabouts it was. And Saville's gone right through the back of Anderson. And I'm thinking, that's foul. And then he stayed down for a bit, holding his neck. He must have got it when he sort of fallen or something. I'm not sure, but yeah, he suffered
Did he
with
do
him.
it in the first half? Thought he could continue in the second and then came off. Is that what happened?
But
Or
yeah, he did it. He thought it'd be okay second half. He just sort of, was, stretching his neck and whatnot. But no, he was done, I think.
top goal scorer for Mill is Benik Afobe on 9 goals.
Nine goals.
Second is Tom Bradshaw on 7. Third is Jed Wallace on 6. Who do you think is fourth and fifth?
You know what? I'm going to go for it. Murray Wallace.
Yep.
And mate, oh no, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there.
You hit really hot when you said Murray Wallace, because like if I'm
Cooper.
asking you, yeah, and Cooper.
See,
So
Cooper's brilliant. Like, he's really impressed
unbelievable.
with it.
Yeah, Murray Wallace on 5, Cooper on 4, and then you've got Bennett with 3, and then you've got Malone and Matt Smith and Saville and Bury on 2, and then Evans and Ballard on 1. Minutes per goal is also on BBC Sport, which is interesting. Minutes per goal, Bradshaw was the best on 182 minutes per goal. So every 2 games, he's drew a goal, which is superb. But also, there's assists on here, mate. And Wallace tops the chart with 9. I mean, his involvement, I think the last 8 games in particular, like I said, I think he's probably been maybe my standout player, Kai. I think I've got a choice between two, and I think if I go for one, you end up going for the other. But mine is Jed Wallace and Cooper. I mean, them for me have been the two kind of standouts. You said Saville, of course, already as well. So maybe you might say Saville, but obviously it's a team effort. But I think Wallace coming back in from injury and he just hit the ground running and he just highlighted how important he is to this team. I think especially against Derby, I feel like he had a really good game. And obviously Cooper, just I suppose personal, what's the word I'm trying to say? I can't.
I don't know what you're gonna say.
What am I trying to say?
Oh,
Personified.
that's it.
Personified that what Mill was about, I feel like. And also, I think Cooper shifting from the left side centre half to the middle, grabbing the captain's armband as well, whilst Hutch had been injured. I think them 2 games in particular, where he scored back-to-back goals, he was instrumental in them wins and obviously two match-winning contributions, but leading from the front or from the back, but obviously going forward and contributing the way he has done. Who's going to stand out? I mean, I'm going to go with Jed. I'm going to go with Jed.
I think the obvious pick for me, I'm not sure I'm going to go for him because I'm going to go for someone different because I rave about him all the time. And I'm going to go for someone different on this occasion. I would have gone for Murray Wallace, but no, he's had a couple of games where he's been out and stuff like that. But I think the most influential player in this 8 games, I think he's probably played about 6 or 5 or 6. When he does play, he's outstanding. I think Mason Bennett.
Okay.
I know that's why I'm so gutted about him being injured for the last 8 games because he just seems to get us to tick right now, which is a real shame.
I think when he's on his form, like when he especially against Huddersfield, making them runs down the left-hand side of the channel and like just stretching the opposition and also carrying the ball at pace and intent as well. Even that one moment where he came as a sub against Blackburn when he first came back from injury, and you're thinking he can run through this team here and get a chance. Like we had no shots on goal that game, but if he was fit and available for 90 minutes, you feel like we would have had a different type of game. I have to agree. Like I'm trying to negate it down to one person, but you can't. Like, even Bart Bielkowski in goal, mate. 5 clean sheets in a row, 6 in 8. And there's a couple of games where he's made outrageous saves. Blackburn game sticks in the memory in that one as well. And
That was a really good save, that one.
it's like you can't. You set the bar even against Huddersfield. The first 10 minutes, he's made a couple of smart saves getting down to his left because it was good for 80 minutes that game and he's unreal. Next question would be what's the best performance? And I was going to go with Huddersfield personally because. Aside from that first 5, 7 minute spell where Danny Ward had a couple of chances, we just played him off the park and played through the press. And that was what the most important, impressive thing for me was after that game. But yeah, even Bart's had his fair share of chances and it stood out and done his bit. Go on then. I said that Huddersfield was my standout game purely because obviously we won 2-0. They were 17 games unbeaten. We played through their press and we know what the lead style is with Cobberan in charge there with Bielsa. He's obviously his old assistant. But what was your standout game from the 8 games, mate?
So it was going to be Huddersfield, but I'm going to go for something different because I think
Nice.
Huddersfield probably was the standout. But I'm going to go for Sheffield United at home.
Okay.
I was just impressed that day. See, again, with Huddersfield, the difference is Huddersfield, we just looked like we were going to score endless amounts of goals.
Yep.
Against Sheffield United, we didn't. No one looked like they were going to score many goals at all. But what I was impressed about, once we got that lead, you could just see how tired that our team was. But they just kept going and going and going. And I think that's what I was so impressed about, the desire to work for each other, togetherness and just the determination just to keep going. That's what I was really impressed about that game. I think we got that little bit of maybe Millwallness a little back about us. And players like Billy Sharp, players like Hourihane, players that are worth a lot of money, Sander Berge, they couldn't lay a glove on us. Morgan Gibbs-White, they just couldn't do anything. And that was quite impressive for me.
You're right. And I think that particular spell, because that was, I think, the last of 4 games in 2 weeks where it was back to back to back to back games. Obviously, Cardiff was the Saturday game. Then we had QPR at home. Then we went to Derby. Then we had Sheffield United at home. And in that 2 week spell, it was just consistently churning out performances. And then we went to Reading, grafted out after going 1-0 up. But you're right, I think that Sheffield United game was good. And also, even against Middlesbrough, we hit the post, didn't we, twice, and could have won that game but for Lumley and goal. And I think we just seem to have, when we can't play good, like we did against Huddersfield, we can ground out games as well. And that is just the key now. And I suppose the only tarnish to it all is that we lost on the weekend to Stoke. But like I said there again, Kai, like I'm positive because we've got that loss out of the way now. And then it's a clean reset. We start again on zero for, the last game we lost. Start again, 8 games to go. Just try and repeat the last 8 games. And I think we'll be in the area that we all want to be in and hope to be in.
If we can get 6 wins, 2 draws, like we just did before that Stoke loss, if we can do that in the next 8 games, we will be in the playoffs, no doubt about it.
Cool.
100% sure. And if we all I think we need to do, right? It's not an all I think we need to do, because it's actually quite a tough ask, because they look bloody good right now. But all I think we need, well, we need to beat Luton on the first game back, because Luton are banging in the goals for fun. It's not even funny. Like, they've scored 7 in their last two. They've beaten teams 4-0, 3-1. They lost to QPR a couple of weeks ago, 2-1, and I think I reckon we, I'm hoping, and I reckon we will do the same to them.
You're right, because obviously as well, I think Kenilworth Road is, a tough place to go at the best of times, and I feel like they're a bit up and down. But this, I think they've scored. I saw somebody the other day, 33 goals in their home games this season in 19. So they score goals for fun, like you said. And bear in mind, they're still relatively new to the Championship, their second season in it. But it's Nathan Jones seems to have just got them kind of well drilled, hasn't he? And it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to move on to the next 8 games. You mentioned Luton and how important that is, and I agree with you. And obviously, Luton Mills always got that little bit of added extra stillness to it or bite to it, whatever you want to call it. It stems back to the 80s, we all know it. And then obviously then we've got Swansea at home, Barnsley at home, and then we've got Preston away on Easter Friday, Hull at home on Easter Monday, and then you've got Birmingham away, Peterborough at home, and then Bournemouth last game of the season away at the Vitality Stadium. No team there scares me, to be honest, Kai. A bit like how none of the teams scare me in the 8 game unbeaten run, really. I think obviously Sheffield United, if they had their act together, could be them sort of team. But they were also a team in form when they came to the Den, weren't they? So what are you expecting? I mean, we'll start with the Luton game. Come on. I should know, as a general first, where do you think we'll be after the 8 games?
I think, I mean, before we touch on it, let's just talk about what Mickey's predicted first.
Okay, well, Mickey's not here to speak for himself, but he did do a prediction, didn't
79 points. I'm just adding that in before I say sick that I look really optimistic. I'm just saying that that was slightly more optimistic than me, which was quite
79 points is 7 wins and 1 draw, by the way, in our last 8 games.
mad, isn't it? I'm gonna top it. Let's go for 8 wins. No, I'm joking. I'll go for sixth, and I reckon we're going to get 74 points.
So what's that? Five wins and a draw, maybe, or
Yeah, something like that. So, what is how many points we're going to get? 15. So, we get 17 points from the last 24 available.
so 5 wins and 2 draws and
Yeah.
1 defeat.
Yeah. It's doable.
I don't know if I want to put a prediction out there myself, because I'm just going to look stupid when we lose all our games and the season peters out to nothing. But do you know what? Like, I'm confident we're going to win all our home games. That's what I'm setting as the foundation here, because obviously Neil Harris was the pundit, wasn't he, for the Huddersfield game. He said Mill needs to get to 72 points, and I think they'll make the playoffs. That's 15 points. And we've got 4 home games and 4 away games. And we've got Swansea at home, Barnsley at home, Hull at home, and Peterborough at home. I think if we get 4 proper Mill at the Den performances, I feel like there's no given in the Championship, but I feel like they're going to be as close to a given as we're going to get. Because as long as we turn up, like I say, we will. And hopefully the fans are there to back them as well. I think that will take care of it. I almost feel like they'll take care of themselves. Maybe we'll get 3 wins and 1 draw at home. Then the away games, Luton's a tough one, and
Yeah.
I will take a point at Luton, to be honest, because as you say, they're also a good footballing side and they move the ball quick. And we always struggle against teams that move the ball quick. A la Fulham, for example, teams that can get on the ball, pass it about, and kind of stretch your defence from side to side. We struggle in them games. I'll take a point at Luton. It's also at 3 wins and 2 draws. And then I'm looking at Preston away. Millwall win away at Preston.
Yeah, I got you. We've beaten them twice in a row now.
Oh, Yeah, okay. Go on then. And so we'll win at Preston 1-0. Hutchinson will score the winner there again. That'll be 4 wins and 2 draws at this point. And that will leave us on, what's that, 14 points. And we need the one more point to get to 72. I think we'll win at Birmingham as well. There you go. 5 wins, 2 draws, and then we'll lose at Bournemouth, I'll say.
So I won't be doing the old little jump in the sit in the water at this point.
I don't think we're going to get the playoffs, though, even if we get them results. I think
You don't think?
we would, though, wouldn't we?
Well, yeah.
It's who knows, Kai? Who fucking knows,
Lot of teams
mate?
will play each other now.
Yeah.
So if we win them games and they've one team has to lose or draw. So if they'll drop points, teams will drop points, definitely, one way or another. And if we can get that many, well, 5 wins, 2 draws, and a loss, or 5 wins, 2 draws, or 3 draws, whatever, I think we'll make it.
Why have I just said that we only lose one game as well? This is the delusional thing of supporting Mill. We just put on a really poor performance away at Stoke, and suddenly I think we're going to win 5 games and only lose one.
I look at all the fixtures and go, I think we'll win that one, that one, that one. And by the time I've actually looked at it, we've won about 43, and we're drawing three. So that's not as bad as that, is it?
The crux of it is we're trying our best to look forward and be excited. But ultimately, as I think we did during that 8-game spell where we said there's 17 cup finals to go, blah, blah, blah. Just take it one game at a time, Kai, isn't it? I think that's ultimately what it's got to be. Don't worry about the other 8, 7 games. The priority for the team when they turn up to train next Monday and look for heads of the week is get a result at Luton. Once you play against Luton, you have a day off on the Sunday and you're in on a Monday because you've got a game on the Tuesday against Swansea, and that is it. Don't worry about Barnsley on the weekend. Focus solely on getting a result. And that I think that's just what it's got to be at this point. It's not gonna be, it's not gonna look amazing. Just get the results, no?
Oh, we've got Barnsley on the Saturday.
We've got Swansea on the Tuesday and then Barnsley on the Saturday afterwards.
Oh no, I hate Barnsley at home. I honestly hate that game. Like, we always lose, and we always lose like a last minute as well. It's so annoying. No, do you know
Oh.
we can break it? We beat them early in the season away. We're going to do it again.
I hope so. I hope so.
No, I think you're right. I think Luton's massive. I mean, I think Conor Mahoney's game, isn't it? So if he's fit, you never know. He might come on for a little spell. I don't know what it is about Mahoney and Luton. He always does well against them. But that's probably the only team he does do well against, isn't it? Probably. But I mean, he does do well against them consistently. So I'm quite impressed with that. But you know, Swansea's a tough one. They play some good football. But another game that I think we play well, we win. And then obviously Barnsley on the at home on Saturday. I think if we play well in that game, we've got the potential to hand out a real thrashing. You know, but that's going to be difficult 2 games prior to that. If we can get 4 points out of them 2 games and then go into Barnsley with 4 points out of seven, 4 points out of possible six, win that one and get if we can get 7 points that week, we'll be well and truly in the playoff race.
I'm sure there's a better way to look at it than we're looking at it because we're just like 8 games, we're gonna win this one, lose this one. Maybe you've got to break it down into two game like to 4 blocks, 2 games in each, and what do you need to take from them and realistically think about it because I'm sure that the analysts are crunching numbers at Millwall. I'm sure Gary Rowett's got his ideal of what has to happen because he's the manager of this team. And this is what he has to worry about.
That's over. We're not talking about it.
We're not talking about it.
That's what he says. We're not talking about it.
Is that what he said? Yeah. Oh, he did, didn't see. Oh, was that after the Huddersfield game, wasn't it? Or he's like, we're not talking about
Every
it
game.
anymore.
We definitely are talking about it at some point, I think. I'm not sure though where they're talking about it, but they definitely are.
You've got to be quietly confident, haven't you? Because you've just got to back it.
I get the process of not talking about it. It's quite good for confidence and stuff and no pressure, whatnot. But I think internally there'll be a goal, I think, but we don't know that goal.
But then I suppose let's look at it this way now. So, do we have injury updates for the players out, Kai? Come on, you're gonna tell me. Obviously, Bradshaw's back, Ojo's back, Keith Nobel's back. Bennett's out now for potentially the rest of the season. Not confirmed,
Four
but
to 6 weeks, apparently, roughly, which you'll
so
probably see about
hopefully
it.
maybe a glimmer towards the end of the season. Who knows? And then see who else we got out injured. Hutchinson, is he almost back?
No, Hutch will. I reckon Hutch will miss Luton.
Right.
Hutch will be back probably Tuesday against Swansea. I reckon
Did he have a
sometime.
setback, didn't he? Hutch, didn't he? He had a setback.
He was supposed to be on the bench against Stoke if everything went well.
Okay. And
Yeah,
then
we'll
who
step
else
back.
injured? Ryan Leonard, what's happening with him?
Leonard should be back. Evans should be back. Oliver Burke should be back as well. So the only players out will be Hutchinson for one game or 2 games and Bennett.
Remember
And then obviously, happy birthday to Luke Freeman yesterday as well, who will be out.
him. Yeah, for don't forget Freeman, the player that played 20 minutes for us, if that gets Fulham. I don't know, is he out for the rest of the season? Do we know about that, Kyle, or what's been said?
I don't know. Well, ever since Gary said that he was, no one's really asked. I think everyone's
No.
assumed that he is. But it's one that should be asked at some point because you never know. He might be able to come in for a couple of games and just give us something a bit different in the midfield. I don't know. But
Because imagine, like, you just get to Birmingham away, 3 games to go in the season, and you have him on the bench all of a sudden, and he comes on, scores the winner or something stupid. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the key, isn't it? We'll talk about the positives here. Like, we've done well in the 8 game unbeaten run, but I think in that availability of players, what was it? It was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 18 players played a part, but then you take away Lovelace, Mahoney, and Pierce, who all made sub appearances, it's down to 15 players. And then in that, Evans only made one start. So Rowett's had 14 players to choose from in the 8 game run there, and which was remarkable when we'd done the business there. But to then throw in Bradshaw, throw in Keith Bell, throw in Ojo, throw in Leonard, throw in Hutch coming back in. Obviously, he played a few games before he got injured at the start there. Then the options he's going to have to change games up, like he said on multiple occasions in this run, that's what's going to be interesting to see and see what you can actually do with it.
Absolutely. The depth will be there again, which will be nice. Obviously, Mason Bennett. The thing is for me is that all these players coming back, I was really looking forward to it. And then obviously Mason Bennett's now out and it just feels like, oh, another one, you know? Just feels like, we're not going to get everyone back now. We're not going to get, I think we all understood that Freeman was going to be out for the rest of the season. But probably most likely. But Mason Bennett, he's such a big player recently that he's the one that maybe feels a bit. I feel the most gutted about getting injured because he was just giving us something in them games. But the depth, right? The depth that we'll have in that squad with Bradshaw coming on, Keith, Ojo, Ojo was starting to get in some good form before he got injured. It's a bit of a shame. I don't think he'll be going up for a header anytime soon. I mean, after what happened last time, I mean, that must have been one of the most unlucky injuries, the way he's landed there. I've seen it on his Instagram page when he posted it.
Definitely, yeah.
And then obviously Ojo, and then you've also got Oliver Burke, who looked so excited when he was playing for us. He was just so quick, and I think he will be excited as well. So yeah, I mean, we've got a good bunch of players coming back. Obviously disappointed about Benno, but we'll keep going, and hopefully that will see us through to the playoffs. And then I wonder whether these loan players they'll be extended for the playoff final or not. You never know.
So you think we'll finish sixth, don't you?
I reckon we're sneaking on the last day.
I'm sure the players, by the way, that have signed online in January are to the end of the season. So I'm sure we're fine there, by the way. I'll never forget that we had that moment before. I think it was James Henry in 2010, 2009, maybe, when we lost it to Scunthorpe. He was able to play against Leeds, I think, in the first playoff game. But because it was like an emergency loan, he couldn't play the semi-final second leg and he couldn't play the final. So, yeah, that was devastating at the time. And I think he would have made a difference at the time as well. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we'll have to see what happens. I think, oh, fuck it. We're going to finish sixth as well. I think we're going to get it right in there. I don't think we will, but I've got to be positive. Why not? If we miss out, and as long as we give it a good go in these 8 games, as long as we don't come out of games thinking we didn't show up today, that's all I ask for. So I'm not bothered. I am bothered, but as long as we turn up, that's the most important thing for me, man. And that's hopefully what we'll see. Who do you think's going to be the best player in the next 8 games before we go?
Oh, I think Benik Afobe is going to go on a little scoring run now.
Nice, okay.
Score. I reckon he's going to score in the next 8 games, provided he doesn't get injured. I reckon he's going to score. This is bold, but I reckon he's going to score another 8 goals.
What? He's gonna score 8 and 8.
Does mad things, you know.
Cool. I hope everyone's drunk on confidence after this podcast, like Kai is. I mean, I'll take it. If he scores 8 and 8, well, he won't score an 8 and 8, but if he does, then fair play to you, Kai. But I think we've actually come to a natural close anyway now for our show today. Just obviously a 1/2 hour ramble with me and Kai. I think we've drummed into what we thought might have changed in the 8 games unbeaten. No one really knows, but it's. I think there is some indicators there that you can see. Obviously, we're sitting in 10th place, 57 points, 4 points behind Blackburn with a game in hand on Blackburn. And obviously, Middlesbrough are still in there as well. They've got a couple games there. But ultimately, I think we're 4 points away from the playoffs. Who knows what can happen? 8 games to go. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a bit of a roundtable special. I think Mickey's organising a couple of guests. And if Mickey, you are listening, hope you're doing well, mate. And we'll see you guys next week. So if you're new around here, be sure to like and subscribe. And obviously check out on our socials at That Mill Pods. Kai, thank you as always for being with me today, mate.
No worries, mate. Well, who's your standout player before we go?
Bart Bielkowski.
Nice one.
And also, I think he'll end up winning the player of the year, which I don't think he deserves, but he'll perform at the right time and get three times in a row. There you go. I think it'll be Murray Wallace that should win it. Player of the year would be my vote, but there you go. Anyway, cheers, guys, and thanks for listening, and see you guys soon.